quick warning before today's show. This episode contains brief mentions of the loss of a loved one to suicide and to chronic illness. Please take care while listening.
After the loss of a child, that part is a void. You have these triggers. They come and they go. You don't control them because you can be driving down the street and all of a sudden you might hear like a song or smell something that's triggered your memory about your child. And then you just be bawling and you be crying and you be like, I'm lost. Lord, help me. Guide me. Where do I go from here? How do I start over?
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa, and for this seventh episode of our Starting Over series, we're talking about a difficult, often resisted kind of starting over that hits very close to home for me. We're talking about starting over after the loss of a loved one. Now, initially, I wanted to create this series about all these different ways, exciting and horrible, and everything in between, that people began again. To give you a little bit of context, my husband of 25 years and father of my five children passed away of ALS in June of 2020. So when I was desperately looking around asking myself, how do people do this? How do I start living my life now that everything has changed? I looked to others who had done it and I asked a lot of questions. And as they shared their stories with me and I saw how hard it is to just start anything, good or bad, but it's especially hard to start living life over after the worst. And I was struck by how little we talk about the starting part. We just hurry to the happy ending. But the starting part is sometimes the most difficult. Now, what makes this episode unusual is that everyone assumes that the starting over part happens after grief is over. But this is problematic because those of us living with grief understand that grief doesn't go away. There's no set ending date. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it did? It seems to me that our society doesn't really know what to do when someone dies. I mean, we have a funeral, and then what? You know, in Victorian times, there was a period of mourning where you'd wear all black as a signal that you were in mourning. And I'm also drawn to the practice in Judaism where there's a set number of days to sit Shiva, but no matter what our traditions are, days after our loved one has died, someone still needs to go to the store to buy milk, maybe even go back to work. And as you are living life, it's just happening, life. When I was in those first days and weeks, and even months after my husband died, I was so surprised that everything from how I talked to how I ate dinner or parented my kids or watched TV changed. When everything in my world and perspective was different, I realized from the outside that to others, just this one thing had changed. Christopher was gone. So when there was a hint of starting over from something someone said in conversation, I was so sensitive to it. Starting over seemed daunting and disloyal, but it was so obvious it was happening with or without my consent. So how do you start over if grief never really ends? Plus, there are all these weird media portrayals of what starting over after death should look like. And often that just looks like not starting over at all. The pressure for women especially is tricky. There's this idealized image of the bereaved wife or mother who never moves on, who keeps the loved one's room perfectly intact or never remarries or even dies of a broken heart. And so in comparison to these media portrayals of complete unending despair after the death of a loved one, it feels like starting over in any way is a sign that, oh, well, maybe you didn't love the person enough or you're betraying their memory. And that messes with your attitudes of what it means to start over, making it that much harder. So the question I want to ask in this episode is, how on earth do you start over after the death of a loved one, and what would that even look like? How do you start? I've learned some things from both experience and regret, and I found someone else who has as well, who was generous enough to share her insight with us, Dr. Sonia Coley Pitchford, who is a writer and an advocate for cancer, health, and heart disease. And she recently lost her 34-year-old daughter, Tanika, to a sudden heart attack.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Dr. Sonia Coley Pitchford. I am the proud mother of two children, Tanika Coley, who's 34, my son Frank Pitchford, who's 33. Unfortunately, my daughter Tanika Coley passed away unexpectedly to a massive heart attack at the age of 34. Back on October the 29th, 2021, that's when the tragedy struck my life. That's when I was able to reach out to organizations and I joined Mending Heart Ministry back in 2022. Now I am on a mission to keep my daughter Tanika's legacy going. You have to say their names. You have to say your children's name. And so yeah. When I sign things, I always sign things, hashtag tease mom forever 34 with a purple heart and a red heart because Red is her favorite color. And purple is my favorite color.
I love it.
And it's okay if somebody come up to me and talk about Tanika. I want you to talk about her because she will never be forgotten. As long as I'm living, she'll never be forgotten.
Sonia is no stranger to grief and starting over after the death of a loved one. Her mother died of cancer a few years ago, and her children's father died of suicide, inspiring her to work in the field of mental health. But her daughter, dying at the age of 34, was probably the most devastating loss Sonia had experienced, maybe partially because of how unexpected it was. And a little over 2 years later, she is still adjusting to how she's living with grief.
I find myself on a roller coaster ride. I find myself depressed, lonely, lost, confused, angry. I had to learn how to go back and just lean and trust in God and hold on Him more. Because when that tragedy struck me, I was so angry and so upset with Him because you are not supposed to bury your children. Your children are supposed to bury you. Now I am on this new life, this grief journey, and it's not easy. A lot of my friends and family want the old Sonia. Once you lose a child, you are no longer that person you once used to be. Now, this is a new Sonia, and the old Sonia is never going to come back. Once you lose a child, your life changed tremendously. It's like you have to put these pieces to this puzzle back together, and it's not easy. You find yourself so lonely, so lost, so depressed. And it's a struggle because you go to bed at night, you pray, you toss and you turn. Sometimes you have sleepless nights because then your mind be racing. Because after the loss of a child, that part is a void. You have these triggers. They come and they go. You don't control them because you can be driving down the street and all of a sudden you might hear like a song or smell something that's triggered your memory about your child. And then you just be bawling and you be crying and you be like, I'm lost. Lord, help me. Guide me. Where do I go from here? How do I start over?
It's interesting to me, right from the beginning of our conversation, that when Sonia talks about starting over and how she's learning to live her life without her daughter, that she's very open and honest about her changing emotions and triggers. In the early days, when I was asking people, how do I learn to live like this? It was an intense emotional time for me. Those who helped me early on in my starting over beginnings were the ones who were honest with me and told me the truth, that I would still have moments of this intense, crushing grief for the rest of my life. And somehow accepting that, instead of learning coping skills to get those intense moments to go away, helped me more. It reminds me of all the metaphors people use with grief, triggers, waves, and the ball in the box. The ball in the box metaphor describes your grief as this big black ball that takes up most of the box and it bounces around. And every time it hits the side of the box, it is painful, a wave of grief to mix metaphors. People assume the black ball gets smaller, or they want it to, expecting it to go down. But what happens instead is that the box, which represents your life, gets bigger and bigger. The more you live, the more expanding experiences you get, the less often the ball hits up against the sides. time, life experience, all of these things make the box bigger. It took me a while to adopt this grief metaphor. Part of my resistance to move forward included a fear that I've lived my best days, my best memories, and I couldn't imagine that the box could get bigger because everything was dumb and stupid and didn't have the power to make the box bigger. Yes, it was a very eloquent sentiment, I know. I had a turning point, and so did Sonia. Here she is describing what happened to her that changed everything and eventually became her pivotal moment of starting over.
One day I woke up and I was looking at myself in the mirror and I didn't like what I was seeing. I had to go back and I had to ask God for forgiveness because I was so angry with him. I was so destroyed and I was like, why did you take her? Why did you not give her a pass? How come you didn't take me? She was just 34. And when I was looking at myself in the mirror, I was like, this is not the Sonia I don't like to see. I'm not a mean person. The person I was seeing in the mirror, I could not identify with her. And I was like, okay, Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry for being angry. Help me, guide me, direct me, hold my hand, walk with me on this grief journey. And once I started changing my negativity and my angerness, I turned it around to something positive and started praying and asking God for forgiveness. And then I had to go back and say, you know what? Go back and look at what God done for you.
In that moment of humility, Sonia asked God to help her see the events fully, not just what had happened, that her daughter had died unexpectedly and tragically, but for other moments around this tragedy that she hadn't considered before. Now, I realize, looking back at my own life, that whenever trauma happens and the death of your favorite person under any circumstances is trauma, you don't always remember things correctly or you forget things. I experienced this as well. So it is interesting to me that she prayed to see and remember things more clearly. And this is what she realized about the days leading up to her daughter's passing.
He allowed me, Lisa, to talk to my daughter that Monday. He allowed me to talk to her that Tuesday. I was able to hug her and kiss her and tell her how much I love her. He even allowed me to talk to her that Thursday before he called her home on that Friday. Mm. That gave me closure. And I was like, oh my goodness, it's a lot of folks out here who have lost loved ones and will never have closure. But look what God allowed me to do. He gave me closure. And once I started changing my prayer and my thought process and stopped being angry and upset with God and start thanking him for giving me my daughter Tanika for 34 years, my world started getting a lot brighter. I went from being in this dark hole to start seeing light.
I just want to pause here and highlight what a big deal this is. When you're in the early stages of grief, you are holding on to hope. When you are in the darkest moments of your existence and you start seeing light, it changes everything. This is what made it such a significant turning point to Sonia as she's learning to start over after her daughter's death. Earlier, I mentioned that I had a turning point as well. It came after a dark time devoid of hope. In fact, I remember thinking at the time, I've never lived without hope before, and here I am. My turning point was also a spiritual experience and remembering things I had forgotten surrounding my life, my husband's life, and our children. I saw things in a new light. And although this is not a formula for how to start over after a loved one's death, it is not lost on me that when you don't want to start over and it all seems horrible, just allowing for the possibility of hope and light and pleading to God to see it is what saved Sonia and me as well. It's the best advice I can think to give to anyone who finds themselves in the same situation. And having said that, it is also not the end of grief and suffering. And knowing that, being fully aware and honest about it, is also useful to your new life. Sonia describes it this way.
It's not easy because even though I'm only just 2 years in, the first year it was a struggle. And this year, well, last year was 2 years, and I found myself all over the place, having problems dealing with not seeing her for Christmas, not seeing her for her birthday, not talking to her for the New Year's, not Thanksgiving. I was a mother who cooked a lot of food, and my children would always come over my house to eat and take food home. Now, is a void, is a loss. The cooking is not the same. My life has changed. It'll never be the same again. But that's where God come in and he holds you. He comforts you. You just have to keep leaning on him and have to trust in him, because I am a prayerful person. And if someone would have told me I'd be sitting here today and talking to you with this frame of mind after the loss of my daughter, Tanika, I'd be like, no way. But every day I get up, it's a challenge, and God has given me strength. And it's a blessing to be able to talk to you. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm feeling good, because I have my good days. I have my bad days. When the triggers come, I'm learning how to let them out. I was the person who used to hold them, and letting them out now, it feels good. It makes me feel okay, but then I'm not okay.
Thankfully, Sonia didn't have to travel this long and grueling road alone. She quickly became part of an online support community called Mending Hearts Ministry. And this is something I've heard from almost everyone I've talked to as we've recorded this series in regards to starting over. Finding other people to support you, whether that's friends, family, a support group, a therapist, or all of the above, is incredibly helpful to a lot of people who are starting over in some way or another. There is something about finding people who are navigating this same difficult new beginning in different ways that is hopeful and encouraging. Here's what Sonia had to say about her experience.
I landed in the heart of Mending Heart Ministry. When I first started, I wasn't talking. I was all over the place crying. I was like, why am I sitting here? But every time it was time to join that meeting, God said, log in, sit there, listen. And then I went from being somebody quiet to now I am a butterfly and I'm a beacon on this journey of mothers. I'm trying to reach out to as many mothers as possible. It's not easy, but we want them to know that they are not in this journey alone. It's so many other mothers that we are all in this group together. My daughter was from a massive heart attack. We have mothers who had stillborn. We have mothers who have children who have committed suicide. We have mothers, children who have was murdered. I would not be here today if it wasn't for them, because when you lose a child, you are in a dark place. And if you don't seek help or counseling, it could just suck you into this dark hole and you will never come out of it. Because it is mental. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I am okay, because I am not okay, but I'm going to be okay because I have something to fight for. My daughter would not want me to be sitting here sobbing and giving up, because she know I'm a fighter. And I used to always tell my children, if you start something, you have to finish it. So now I'm on this journey to finish whatever I have to finish before it's my time.
I love this idea of fighting on because it's what your loved one would want. Even if you feel like just giving up and sinking into despair, it really is honoring their memory to keep going. Before Chris died, he gave me the gift of explicitly telling me, you need to go on with your life. I shouldn't just forsake happiness forever. It's not what he wanted for me. And I often think about how living my life would or would not honor Christopher's memory. And I've noticed that a lot of people find strength in the idea that honoring their loved one's memory fuels their hope in moving forward. Starting over isn't betraying the memory of the loved one. It's honoring them and their wishes. It's definitely not forgetting the loved one to move forward, and it doesn't mean you're just over it, which would really be impossible. But you do have to begin with the end in mind, which is that this grief will last your whole life. Like many new to this kind of deep grieving, I wanted to know what helps. What do you do when the ball hits the side of the box and knocks you down? How do you keep going despite the relentlessness of this new beginning? And this is what Sonia had to say.
I have people sometimes say, oh, why are you still grieving? You're not over it yet. You'll never get over it. You'll never get over it. This is going to be with me for the rest of my life. And I wouldn't wish this on no one, not this grief journey, because it's not easy. My grief sometimes feel like I'm a ball of emotions. They come and they go. I could be happy one minute. I could be depressed the next minute. I could be having anxiety, panic attacks. I have my good days and bad days, but when I have my bad days, I walk. I try to get 10,000 steps in a day. I listen to gospel. Sometimes I just talk to my daughter, Tanika, and sometimes I just listen to the birds chirping. That's my healing for me. That's my time to vent, to take care of me mentally. You have to trust in God. You have to ask Him for strength every day you get up. And it's working, and it's healing me slowly, but I'm getting there.
I appreciate how honest Sonia is. Grief never just goes away. You don't just get over the loss of someone who means that much to you, but it doesn't mean grief always has to look the same all of the time, or there's nothing you can do about it. Sure, you don't wake up one day thinking, yeah, I'm over it now. I'm never going to feel sad about it again. Of course not. But there are these moments of joy and healing and peace. There are still ways to find happiness, even while carrying a grief that in some ways you'll never be able to put down completely. And if you're too busy being in love with grief and focused on the grief, you will miss the joy and happiness that's all around you. For Sonia, grief even opened up a new path for her to find meaning in her life by reaching out to help other people, channeling her pain into action. It is no coincidence that she is doing volunteer work and advocacy for cancer, mental health, and the American Heart Association, all causes that have changed her life forever. Similarly, I will raise money and awareness for ALS for the rest of my life. In a way, it's an outward-facing way to express your grief. It feels like honoring and helping at any level of help, big or small. What strikes me about her passion surrounding these causes is that it is helping her life get bigger, giving her new experiences, connecting her to like-minded people, and helping her actively express her grief in a way that honors those she has lost. Her beginning is deliberate. Here's how she explains it.
I think God has given all of us tools. After the loss, I think you have to have a plan and a purpose. And now I am trying to find my plan and my purpose and allow God to use me as He see fit. I can get emotional when I'm talking to other grieving mothers and fathers, and sometimes I try to hold back, but then sometimes it's okay to let it out. Sometimes just to be another ear for someone to have a shoulder to lean on, because sometimes that person might just need you just to sit there to listen. And so now I'm trying to find my place. Where am I going to fit in on this journey? What can I do to support other grieving mothers and fathers? And that's the mission that I'm on right now. So now I'm on a mission for Tanika, because now that's my goal, to keep my daughter legacy, keep her name going. My daughter Tanika, she wasn't sick. And unfortunately, she was 34 and had a massive heart attack. She was getting her nails done and collapsed. She never displays no signs, no symptoms. And now I'm on a mission to try to help folks and tell them, hey, if you notice something, shortness of breath, or you're overweight, or you're smoking, you need to go and see your doctors and get yourself checked out. Because I can sit here and speak to the audience, and I hope that my message will help and save someone's or somebody's child's life if they have heart disease in their family. This is my plan and my purpose. Now I'm on a mission. Not only was I on a mission for like mental health and cancer, because our children's father, he committed suicide. And that's what made me started wanting to be on a mission for mental health. And then when my mother passed away with cancer back in 2016, that made me more on a mission to be an advocate. And that's what made me wanting to pursue and continue, because when she was living, I obtained my master's. And when she passed, I backed away from it. And I kept longing and feeling like I have a void. And that's what made me go back to complete my PhD. And when my daughter passed away, I was ready to throw in the towel. And God just started doing some things for me to turn my tragedy around. She passed in October 2021. God allowed me to go up for my oral defense in October of 2022, and I passed it last year of April of 2023. God allowed me to walk the stage to get hooded. So it was like a beautiful thing. So I look at how God is molding things and turning things around for me. So I have to give Him praise. So now I'm on a mission with a smile, even though I'm broken in the inside, but I'm smiling because I'm doing things that's going to keep me going. It's going to keep my daughter's name and legacy going. My son started a scholarship fund in Tanika's name. He started that right after she passed away. So we're on a mission. We're on a mission over here. All I can say is that I'm learning how to love this new normal life. I'm learning how to embrace it. It's not easy. The loss of a child is never going to be easy. You have to make it work. You have to figure out, on this grief journey, what can I do to keep myself moving forward? And what I'm doing is I'm keeping myself busy. I'm looking at life now through a different lens. I'm trying to keep myself busy, embrace this new normal life because it's not easy. I just pray that God allow me to continue to be a vessel.
At the beginning of the episode, we asked the question, what does it look like to start over after the death of a loved one? Learning how to keep living after Christopher died, to figure out how to still plan for the future, a very different future than I had previously dreamed, and start figuring out how to fall in love with life and be grateful for that opportunity is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Starting over after the death of a loved one is a starting over process that is not exciting. It's like grieving is your hold on your loved one, and you don't want to let go of any of it. But you recognize that you'll never be the same and that you can't convince yourself that life is better without your loved one. So the idea of starting over seems impossible, very overwhelming at best, and really stupid and dumb. This is the kind of starting over I don't like to talk about because I still feel like it's the worst kind of starting over. But it's so important to talk about because talking about it helps. In those early days of my grief, when anyone would softly suggest that maybe there might be some fun or exciting parts of starting over, like having more time to XYZ, like move, start painting more, or date, I just wanted to throw up. Who cares about those things? I mean, it seems like enjoying anything because your spouse or best friend died doesn't take away any sting, and any enjoyment of those things is a betrayal. Good times. But what I realize now, and I was so grateful to be able to talk to Sonia about, is the way we live our lives starting over can also be filled with joy and happiness. And both things can be true. Talking about it helps. Finding hope in other things with other people helps. Expressing your grief and helping others helps. And I realize that this is a funny thing to bring up at the end of the episode, but even though it may be technically correct, in putting this episode together, I can't deny anymore the fact that I hate the term starting over in this context of losing a loved one. I am forever changed because of Christopher, and there's a beauty in that, and I am who I am today because of him, so there's no real starting over. I don't suddenly get to be a different person, and I wouldn't want to. And yet, everything has changed because of his death. How I eat dinner, how I do my taxes, what I spend time doing in my free time, how I parent, my job, my outlook on life. So everything is different. I am who I am because of him, and everything's different. Ugh. So the idea of starting over seems like a weird way to phrase it in this context. It doesn't feel like a blank page or a clean break. And even though I still cringe at the term starting over, like moving on, moving forward, isn't much different. So I guess I just have to start thinking about it in my head simply as living. This kind of starting over is hard because it's a forced kind of starting over. It's full of emotion and resistance. I have carefully observed many who have lost spouses and children and how they approach this idea of starting over. Although they are all resistant, they move forward in life regardless. Time moves forward. It's just how it is. And I do think there's no one right way to do it. Because there's no timeline to grief, things happen, kids grow up, major life events, good or bad, still continue to happen. The world does not, in fact, stop. It keeps going. People keep going to the bank and the library, and the mail keeps on getting delivered. And whether you think it's starting over or just existing, life moves forward regardless. Sonia reminded me that although we can't control what happens to us in life, we can choose to see the positive around us and plead to God for help in that paradigm shift. Sharing our stories and pain, like Sonia does, can also connect us to other grievers who understand and can give us new ideas, moving us forward, outward facing, beyond ourselves. When all is said and done, the best way to honor those we've lost is to add more love, more help, more goodness out into the world. I mean, isn't that what we would want as a testament for our lives? I can't think of a better way to start when facing a new horrible beginning we didn't want than there.
I'm trying to love me more. I'm trying to stay away from anything that's going to be negative in my life because I'm all about positive now. My life is full right now, and I'm on a journey to being all I want right now, Lisa, is peace. That's the journey I'm on. I want peace in my life. And the only way I'm going to get that is I got to keep trusting in God, keep leaning on him. I know God will never forsake me, nor will he ever leave me. I might have lost my daughter, Tanika, but I got to keep going because now I have a plan and a purpose. Okay, God, what's next? That's what I'm asking him now. So I'm no longer angry with him. I'm moving on to the next level. And they always say new level, new devil. The devil can keep trying, but he cannot win me because God is going to outpower him. Because I worship and believe in him. And that's why I had to say, when I was angry, I didn't like the person I was seeing. I switched it around and started focusing on positive things and trusting in God and just asking him for forgiveness. And once I changed my prayers around and started thanking him for him giving me my daughter Tanika for 34 years, things started looking better and brighter. So I'm on a mission. This journey is between God and myself and whoever life I can tap into and touch as I'm on this journey. That's what it's all about for me.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio. The show is hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark and produced by Becca Hurley, McKay Menden, Avery Stoneley, Michael Combs, and Blake Morse. Music and post-production was done by Kip Merrill. And make sure you follow The Lisa Show on Instagram and Facebook to find out whenever a new episode releases, as well as to send us your feedback and questions for the Council of Moms.